This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Yeah, let's get it, New York City. How you feeling tonight? Shout out to Capper and Carino and Frank DeGrace and the Brooklyn Nets. What happened to the Nets tonight? See, that's the thing about the Nets, man. One night they ball on the Pelicans. Next night, they get balled on by the Atlanta Hawks. Can't beat those Southern Birds, but they beat the other Southern Birds. Hey, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I had a hater tell me, stop acting like WFAN is your Yankees and Nets podcast. I'm like, you don't listen to my show. I never talk about the Nets. I can't. And that's all that I'm going to talk about the Nets tonight. We're going to talk about the New York Knicks. Dial 888-808-1019. Hit the line one time. Tell me what's on your mind, Knicks fans. Last time I was talking about the New York Knicks coming off the Celtics loss, I said, is this glass half empty or glass half full? There was a lot of moral victories. I don't know why. There was a lot of people talking about, oh, yeah, they hung with them. They competed with them. Yeah, they hung tough. This is good. This is good. This is foreshadowing. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, tonight was an actual potential playoff preview, but the Knicks did not bring the full squad. And they could have clinched tonight, but they chose to rest some guys tonight, which I understand. The Yankees were just in Detroit. Like, nobody wants to go to the D. Nobody wants to be in Michigan right now. I don't even know. Did OG and Josh Hart and Mitchell Robinson go with the team? I don't think so. It was the first half of a back-to-back. I think they stayed put. Like, no, we're good. We're not going to Little Caesars Arena. So OG, you know, right thumb sprain, Josh Hart, right knee, and Mitchell Robinson, left ankle. Those guys were all out. And if you don't know, the Pacers won tonight. So that three seed is not all but locked up yet. And I said I wasn't going to say anything about the Brooklyn Nets again, but I'm going to bet that the Nets do come out with a different energy in Brooklyn the next time they play. It's a 1 o'clock game this Sunday against the Knicks. And I'm not saying that the Nets are going to beat the Knicks, but I did hear Jordy Fernandez talk about how, you know, the coaches prepared the Brooklyn Nets, but they weren't ready to play tonight. I think it was like 33-14 in the first quarter. They were not ready to play tonight. I think they'll be ready to play against the Knicks. And why is that important? Because the Knicks have to beat the Nets to lock up that three seed. And I think you want to lock up that three seed. I want you to lock up that three seed just from watching the game tonight. I like that game tonight. I like the intensity. Detroit versus New York. And we'll get all the way into it. 888-808-1019. So without your full complement of players, you go into Little Caesars Arena and you're facing a Pistons team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2019. And those fans in there, you could tell they were very into the game. They were chirping at the players. They were very involved. All of the Pistons were involved. Their bench was involved. And they wanted to win this game, and they did. And they absolutely closed the Knicks out in the second half. But when I was watching this game in the beginning, my first thoughts were like, yo, if OG, Hart, and Mitchell Robinson are playing, this is no contest, right? At first, I'm watching a game, and I'm like, okay, we can put to bed any conversation of the Knicks having any trouble with Detroit, the new bad boys. How about Cade Cunningham? He's nice. And, like, he's really taking on, you know, the city of Detroit. You know, he's putting the Detroit, he's pulling his jersey up. How about that sequence where in the third quarter, it was like Cat was on the bench, his fouls were up, and you get Unk in the game. Unk is P.J. Tucker, 39-year-old P.J. Tucker. He's in the game, and it's starting to get chippy, right? Brunson had rolled his ankle, and, you know, Unk has his back, and Schroeder fouls Brunson, stands over him. So they got to check Schroeder, Dennis Schroeder, former Brooklyn Net, former everything. And it got really, like, you know, ratcheted up, playoff intensity. P.J. Tucker out there, he's got to get his win, too. I think he played 27 minutes tonight. But, like, it's good to have an enforcer out there, enforcer activated. You know, he has a hard foul on Cunningham, kind of rattles Cunningham a little bit. Cunningham was having his way, but he missed both free throws. Good, because he would have had 38 tonight. And then, you know, P.J. Tucker fouls Schroeder, stands over him. You know, Brunson's like, what? I got my big bro on the court with me. Like, that's, I don't know. That's where the game pretty much after that, it was over. Like, the Knicks after that were just completely outscored. They returned the ball over. There was a little bit more of, like, Landry Shamet kind of going back and forth with a fan and hitting back-to-back threes. Even during that stretch, P.J. Tucker hit his signature corner three. Old man just got to get his win back, run some win sprints, get ready for the playoffs. 888-808-1019. But basically, you know, in that fourth quarter, they just distanced themselves. The Pistons did. And already mentioned the turnovers. And you're seeing different rotations, obviously. You're seeing just different sets of guys playing together. It's not going to be, you know, completely crisp. Oh, how about Precious Achiuwa, though? Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart, had to bless him. Bang! Had to dunk on him and then give him the chest bump. And you know Isaiah Stewart doesn't want any smoke right now. He's not trying to get suspended right now. He's not trying to have eyes on him going into the playoffs. But anyway, long story short, short story long, the energy between the Knicks and the Pistons was up. It was all the way up for a game that the Knicks did not have all of their starters. It would look a lot different, in my opinion, if you have OG there to guard Cade Cunningham. And you know he's going to come to the Garden and try and go off. I think the Knicks can gentlemen sweep them. I think there might be one game that the Pistons can get if it's a game that Cunningham goes for 40. But I don't see him going for 40 if you have OG there to check him, even if you have Josh Hart there as well. It just, you know, Mitchell Robinson too. So Knicks fans, tell me how you feel. Glass half empty, glass half full, coming off of a loss where you could have locked up the 3 seed tonight, where you did have a 13-point lead, where maybe now you gave Detroit a little bit of confidence, but maybe it's false hope. Maybe it's not really confidence. 888-808-1019. We already got a break because we're up against the 11 o'clock update. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call the show. We'll be right back. Inside the 11 p.m. hour on the Fan in New York, it's April 10th. We're talking about your Go New York, Go New York, Go. Your New York Knicks. As we are getting close to another playoff run, how long will this run be? Keith McPherson on the Fan. You know, during the break, I'm in the live chat, streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram. And my guy Ben, who is the host of the Sports Pod, says Detroit is just too young to really compete in a playoff series. I wouldn't say that. Experience plays. And we all know, right, what you just saw was a regular season game. Playoffs are way different. Everybody's playing defense. The schemes are different. The stars shine. It's star time. And, you know, I just say experience plays. The guys that have been there before, they rise above everyone and everything else. But what I was just breaking down to Ben is like, okay, this team, they have young starters and young stars in, obviously, Cade Cunningham, Asar Thompson, Jalen Duren. But in between them, they have Tim Hardaway Jr., Tobias Harris, Dennis Schroeder, Isaiah Stewart, guys that have been around for a little while and do have playoff experience. Even, you know, Malik Beasley's been around for a little while now. So I won't say that they're too young to win a series. We've seen young teams compete. We haven't seen young teams, obviously, you know, get it all the way, you know, to the finals and win or anything like that. But I wouldn't sleep on anybody. I don't think you're ducking anybody either. I also don't think, I listened to Tom Thibodeau speak after the game. They're obviously trying to get that three seed. They're trying to win these games. They're trying to be the highest seed they could be going into the playoffs. I know there's a scenario where they could face the Bucks, but ultimately I think that they win. Whether they beat the Cavs tomorrow or whether they beat the Knicks, and we'll see what happens with the Pacers. But, yeah, with the Pacers winning tonight and the Knicks losing tonight, that three seed didn't get locked up. Let's get to the phones. Mark is all the way out in California, but he's actually back in New York, New Jersey, somewhere. What's up, Mark?
I'm still here in Jersey. I leave on Monday. So, yeah, I went to Wawa today, man. First time at Wawa in, I don't know, man, over like 12 years, 13 years.
That's funny you say that. There was a guy in my elevator today. I live in Jersey City. And he had a Wawa. It looked like he had some Wawa chicken tenders. And I wanted to say, like, yo, where's there a Wawa around here? Where'd you get that? Like, did you just come from a trip? Because there's no Wawas up here.
You buy them, you put them in the air fryer, dude. It's like, my air fryer is my best friend. Like, he is my best friend. I use it so much. I even make my wife, but I make dehydrated banana chips for her. You throw the banana chips in there, it has the dehydrated option on my air fryer, and it's like, oh my god, dude, it's so good. Have you ever been to Sheep?
Of course, Philly. Of course.
Right, okay, those sandwiches are so good, man. That's like,
I went to school in Virginia for a little while. Down in West Virginia, they have Sheets. Like when you start to get into the South, they got Sheets.
Yeah, I went to Rutgers, so I went to Rutgers.
So you're just eating fat sandwiches and going to that like hot dog place, and
dude, oh my god, dude, Tony Luke's is the best cheesesteak in Philly. Prove me wrong. Best cheesesteak.
Shout out Tony Luke's. I got to meet him. Anyway, we're supposed to talk about the Knicks.
Yeah. We're supposed to talk about the Knicks. I'll talk about food. Yeah, dude, listen. 21 points again in the fourth quarter. Keith, come on. You know what I'm going to say, man. And listen, I understand no OG, no Josh Hart, no Mitchell Robinson, right? I get it, okay? But do you think if the Knicks had those guys, they would beat Detroit? I do, right? I mean,
yes. Yes, it looks a lot different with those three. Defensively, it looks a lot different. And offensively. And not for nothing, not to cut you off, bro. Brunson rolled his ankle. Cat got into foul trouble. Like, I can't read into this game as far as saying what will happen in a playoff series. What I'm leaning into is, hey, the Pistons and their fans in Detroit got a little bit of a battery in their back. They got some confidence. Like, they're not going quietly after getting this win tonight.
Yeah, and Indiana didn't look very good against Cleveland, who played absolutely nobody. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, if they're tied, Knicks would have the tiebreaker advantage because they have the head-to-head record, 2-1. So there's no really tanking scenario because, like, Detroit and Milwaukee are still good. Milwaukee is a good team. So is Detroit. But listen, if the Knicks lose in the first round, which I don't think will happen, but if that happens, is Tibbs gone? Is he gone?
I don't know. We were talking about it last night. We've been talking about it for days. I don't think it would be the right move to get rid of him, but some heads will probably – someone's got to get fired. Heads will have to roll. You know,
as a Knicks fan who I would love, and he's from New York. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but
– Mike Malone. Everybody's been saying it.
Oh, my God, man. I would, especially with what he's done. I mean, listen, Jokic is not having a great year, but he's having a pretty good year. He's struggling a little bit because of the injuries and other situations. But what he's done to that man, imagine what he can do with Cat. Like, it would be, I think it would be great. Now, listen.
I'm not going to hold you. Like, Cat is great. Jokic is great. I don't know if Mike Malone turns Cat into Jokic, and I don't know if Mike Malone gets the credit for turning Jokic into Jokic, but go on.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing is when Jokic came to the NBA, he wasn't the type of player that he is now under Mike Malone in terms of just the defensive versatility he has, the ability to shoot threes, the leadership that he has, right? They're all like you know, people saying he's not fit enough, he's not big enough, strong enough, he's put on muscle, all that stuff, right? The problem here with the reason why, and I've always been critical of Tibbs, right? But the biggest issue is we've seen it enough. And me and you both as Yankee fans, it's Tibbs is Carlos Rodon. Like, what? He's the type of guy that, like, you know what you're getting. But the thing is we've seen it enough already. This is over 4 years with Tibbs, bro. I get that we were bad years ago, and now we finally won 50-plus and all that stuff, right? But you have to start to think, like, how much more could they really do with Tibbs? You got Bridges, you got Cat, you got the best offensive team you ever had. If you lose in the first round, I mean, this team is built not to win a championship, because you got the Celtics, you got, in case you make the finals, you got the Thunder, right? But you got the Cavs. So it's like, dude, this year is stacked, right? This might not be the next year. So no, maybe you hold off on getting
it's definitely
pick,
not right? The next year. Thanks for the call, Mark. Yeah. It's not the next year. But I also don't think they're going to get knocked out in the first round. And if they do or they don't, I don't think they fire the coach. I think it's a building year. I think it's the first year of Mikal Bridges. No, you know it's the first year of Mikal Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns on this team. We've been talking about this all season. I called it very early. I'm not taking, you know, victory lap, but I'm like, this team is not going to be what y'all think. It's not a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals their first year together. It takes time to develop chemistry, to figure out the identity of the team. Brunson may be a little hobbled here. That ankle is not back to full strength. He rolled it tonight, had to leave the game. You know, OG with his offensive prowess that he showed over the last few weeks, like, is that going to be available in the playoffs? Karl-Anthony Towns, he got in foul trouble tonight, and then I think I was watching a game, and Alan Hahn said he didn't attempt a three until about like 9 minutes left in the game. Let me go to the team stats. It's tough to look at this game, too, and look at this. Like, this is not the team that the Pistons are going to face, and the Pistons rolled out everybody they had fully healthy. Yeah, the Knicks shot 32% from deep. And then if I look at, they were turning the ball over, let's see, 17 turnovers. And then in the paint, the Pistons had 66 points in the paint to their 46 points in the paint. But I, like I said, I can't draw any conclusions from this. I can't really, like, all I'm taking from this game, and that's why I asked my, you know, my Knicks fans that are listening. I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm an NBA fan. I'm barely a Nets fan because there's just really no reason to be watching the Nets and rooting for the Nets right now. It's just, and you just got to go through the pain. You just got to act like it's not happening. You just got to ignore most of it and hope that lottery ball bounces. But as I'm watching the game, I'm like, okay, these Detroit fans are getting souped up off this game, and they have some confidence. That place is going to be packed. Like, I joked that the Yankees were just out in Detroit and nobody wants to go to the D. Well, maybe Knicks fans need to try to go take over their building. Maybe you do need to take a look at the flights and ticket prices once this gets locked up. And maybe there needs to be that Knick presence. They said that during the broadcast, that, like, you know, the Knicks are used to traveling and there being a heavy Knicks contingent in every building. That was not the case tonight. Let's go to Danny in Maplewood. Danny, you know something that I don't know?
Yes, I do. I was a little surprised to hear you say that there's no Wawa's. You know, up here, you say you live in Jersey City?
Yeah, more Hoboken, Jersey City. Is there a Wawa? You got to go out west?
No, well, you got to go out west, but Elizabeth has a Wawa. Linden has a Wawa.
Yeah, I don't go.
Barney
has
a Wawa.
I'm not going over there, and I rarely am over there. If I'm going over there, like, I might as well go home. I might as well go down Monmouth County.
Yeah, but let's make sure we're being truthful here. Wawa has spread out into, you know, Western Jersey, but as close as Elizabeth to where you are.
Yeah.
And they've been spread. There's a big one that they opened in Springfield. That it's just beautiful. It's a giant one. And yeah, they've been branching out.
Yeah, it used to be just a South Jersey, Philly type of thing.
Yeah.
But they have started to creep up further north. I'm just saying there isn't one in Hoboken, Jersey City, Bayonne, the areas that I'm frequently in. But maybe I got to go a little further out to run into one of these northern ones. I haven't seen a new shiny one in anywhere that I frequent.
Well, anyway, listen, I do want to tell you that I listen to you very often. I really enjoy what you bring to the table. You know, you're one of my favorite hosts on FAN, and you're a good listen, you know? So just keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Danny. Thanks for the call and letting me know about that as well. I got to go. Next time I'm like randomly in the car, which is tomorrow, I might want to just go get a hero, go get some chicken fingers, go get a something from Wawa and type into the map Wawa and see what the nearest one to me is.
It's definitely worth it. Get the pretzels.
Oh, know? Yeah. Pretzels, cookies. I'm actually getting ready for the summer, Bob. Thanks, Danny. 888-808-1019. Boy, Dad, no Dad, Bob, been working on my six-pack. I'm trying to be Jack, you feel me? I'm trying to be ripped, you know? I'm definitely going to be, like, you know, semi-in shape, but, like, the six-pack is tough, and the six-pack starts in the kitchen. You could sit there and do 200 crunches, but then if you have 200 calories, they cancel out. 888-808-1019. I gotta stop with that. I gotta, you know, less carbs, less processed food as we get closer to, you know, Cinco de Mayo and then Memorial Day weekend. I'm not trying to see no bellies. I'm not trying to be that guy. I said, you know, I'm trying to be ripped. I'm trying to be Jack. Anyway, Harvey and Dix Hills, I haven't heard from you in a while. Probably because you prioritize your sleep and go to bed at night. How you doing?
Well, how'd you know? I have what's called, you know what I do for a living, and I have a time problem. For me, it's a four-letter word, to be quite frank with you. That doesn't mean I don't listen to you, because, you know, I was one of your first callers, either your first day or your second day, you know, when you started. And the reason I did look forward to that is that you are a college quarterback with a lot of knowledge of football, and you know I love football.
Yeah, I hear you calling the Moose. Who else did I hear you calling to recently? I that's what I said. I know you call and listen to the Fan, but you go to bed at night.
It's my 27th year on the Fan.
Congrats.
Can you believe this?
Much longer than me.
Well, I'll tell you what. Before I go to what I want to do, I want to thank you because one of my patients named Anthony is a caller to the Fan and a coach. And he referenced that call that you and Chris, and I love you both together, by the way, you and McMonagle, you're great. You both know football very well. And in that show, I think I remember that I went through the Harvey miscalculations of Shane. That was the call, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. I'm trying to remember. I started with Julian Love and Leonard Williams, and I graduated to my favorite defensive coordinator, Wink Martindale, and went to Michigan and brought him to fame and hired Shane Bowen, who is not half what Wink Martindale is. And you know my favorite one is Barkley. And I just remember that only two people loved that pick for the second pick in the draft. That was me and Kim Jones, who's a Penn Stater.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that turned out to be correct, I'm telling you. Gettleman got killed for drafting him, and even your partner. I love Chris McMonagle and his knowledge of football, but to the end he has said that the Giants made a big mistake drafting a running back with the second pick. And my philosophy is it doesn't matter what position you play. If you think that player is going to be a great player, that's who you draft. Even more than need, but I'm a big
need. It's a team game. The Giants never put the offensive line and players around him to get the most out of Saquon Barkley. We saw it immediately when he left.
That's right. Well, I knew it before. That's the problem. I've known it since the pick. You know, the Giants had you don't know about the experiment that the Giants had. They're going to play the season without an offensive line. Did you know that?
They seems like they play every season with 10 different configurations of their
offensive
line.
They go out of their way to have a bad line, right? But anyway, that's believe me, I am not a Shane supporter. I would have fired him, as everybody knows. I don't think he hasn't shown to me that has the ability to evaluate personnel, which leads us to what I was going to talk about, and that involves the quarterback. Now, I've heard of many people say they should draft Travis Hunter with a third pick. Well, I'll tell you what, Shane has said he's so glad that he has Winston and Russell Wilson because now he has flexibility. Two has-been quarterbacks. Winston can't find the color of the jersey. He needs to know what color the jerseys are on the defense. And then they have Russell Wilson, who Pittsburgh didn't want. And this is what they're going to base their – I'd love to hear the conversation between Shane and John Mara, who I believe has lost his way, all right? To me, the only way you can build a team – one of my coaches, and I say this so often on The Fan, one of my quarterbacks said, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. And I've known that for a long time. And the Giants don't have a quarterback, which leads us to the fact that they have to. There is no flexibility. James, I got flexibility. There is no flexibility in this draft. They have a chance with a number three pick to pick the best quarterback that they think is the best quarterback, although I don't trust them to do that. And that, to my number one opinion, and that's why I want to ask your opinion, is I think, and I'm starting to watch tape and things, I think Cam Ward is the plum of the draft. And if they can trade up, which I think Tennessee would be crazy to give him up, I would do that. I would trade draft capital to do that. And I believe the second best quarterbacks is Jackson Dart, and my criterion is total yardage for and percentage of completions, all right? And I think that Dart will be a better quarterback than Sanders, although I don't know. And I want to know your opinion. You know, the other thing, people, you know, the Dallas Cowboys just, some guy I was looking at was Joe Milton. And that, all they did was exchange draft choices, the 7th for the 5th. I've talked about that for weeks already. He's a one-game wonder. But, you know, I think he went from Michigan to Tennessee and played one game for New England. And actually, I think it was like 260 yards or 300 yards he threw for. And now Dallas are going to have him. We're going to see what he's like. What is your opinion about quarterbacks? Should they? I believe they have to draft a quarterback. This is their time. And the problem is, I think that Joe Shane, I don't know what conversation they had. Joe Shane wants to save his career by winning. And I don't believe they're going to. It'll be enough for the Giants. I really don't.
Harvey, man, good to hear from you. That was a lot. Thank you, though, for that call. 888-808-1019. I will answer all of those questions, and we'll get back to the conversation around the New York Knicks, but we got to take a break. So, listen, like, and I literally just put into my notes, you know, this regime, the mistakes that Shane made, the quarterback situation now with Jameis and with Russ, and maybe drafting a quarterback. Can they get Cam Ward? Should they get Shedeur Sanders if he's there? Should they take Travis Hunter? The Dallas Cowboys actually being the team to go get Boom Bazooka Joe Milton? I didn't see that coming. So we will get back to the Knicks conversation. And obviously in my notes, I have a ton of NFL draft stuff that we're going to do tonight. We're 2 weeks away from the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. KM to AM. We'll be right back. Uh-huh. It's me, your boy KM on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting through the break. You could have went to sleep. You could have cut the TV on, cut the radio off, exited out of the app, said, I'm over this. You know? I'm guessing you like sports. I'm guessing you like to listen to random calls and a random guy like myself talk sports. The radio is free. You don't even have to pay for this. You don't even have to subscribe. Let's get back into it. Harvey and Dix Hills had a call where he laid out a lot of different things about Joe Shane and obviously the misses where he let go of Julian Love, Evan Ingram, Xavier McKinney, Saquon Barkley. We don't have to go through the bunch of names. Leonard Williams. Sterling Shepard, just a bunch of guys. Even the way that he handled Nick McCloud's departure and Daniel Jones' departure, not really good. Hard Knocks, one and done because of Joe Shane. Literally, off-season Hard Knocks. I remember last year getting on The Fan saying, man, they should have did this sooner. How cool was that to be a fly on the wall? I know if I'm John Mara, I'm firing whoever's idea it was. The Giants stayed away for decades, for almost like 20 years of Hard Knocks. They stayed away. And they do the first offseason Hard Knocks. And we see how they gave away Saquon Barkley. I would have had to fire the guy off of that. But anyway, Harvey was talking about the quarterback position. And as I listen to WFAN, and I hear people screaming about how the Giants need to draft a quarterback. And I was one of them saying they need to draft a quarterback too before they signed Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. I wasn't expecting them to sign them both. I was thinking once they signed Jameis, still draft a quarterback. Now that you signed two veterans that started games last year, that won games last year, you don't draft a quarterback 3 overall. You don't. And I also don't think that this regime is good at evaluating quarterbacks. Let's go back. When they came in, they took a look at Daniel Jones. They brought in Tyrod Taylor. They didn't pick up Daniel Jones' rookie option. I know he was hurt. But they basically took a look at Daniel Jones, all the film on him, and they said, no. We got to bring in Tyrod Taylor. We got to challenge this guy. This is not our guy. We're not picking up his option. Okay. Then that guy goes out, wins some games, and they evaluate him to be the reason that they won all of those games. The reason that their offense was successful is because they had Saquon Barkley they could give the ball to 30 times. This guy was throwing the ball to Richie James. Barely. So this is why I say I don't think that they evaluate quarterbacks well. You gave that contract to Daniel Jones? Mistake. Big mistake. And then even with the quarterbacks that you decided to bring in, Drew Locke for $5 million? Man, let's even go back. Tommy DeVito started off as a quarterback that you didn't even want to throw a damn check down. And then you get him ready and you let him go out there and beat the Packers, beat the Patriots, beat the Commanders. And they're laughing at you because they're like, yo, you don't see these mock drafts? You don't see Jaden Daniels coming? You don't see Drake May coming next year? Like, you guys rather beat us and miss out on franchise quarterbacks? Okay. So now I still don't think that they're good at evaluating quarterbacks. You don't need both Russ and Jameis. You don't need both of their personalities in your quarterback room, in your building, underneath your, like, you don't. But you did. And you actually got them for the cheap. I'll give you that. The cost, it was very cost effective. It ain't costing you that much. But you might have two bum-ass QBs and then not draft your future QB. And I understand it. Because right now, you are making decisions for your life. That's why I would have fired these guys and started fresh. Because I wouldn't want guys making decisions saying, we got to win games. John Mara said he better be in a better mood next year, which means we got to win games. You have the toughest strength of schedule, the longest odds to the Super Bowl. You do have some talent. I like your draft last year. I like your free agency class this year. You do have some talent. But it's the NFL, man. You got to coach those guys up. You got to get some luck. And when you have the toughest strength to schedule, teams like the Chiefs coming in, the 49ers, I don't know, I got to go pull that up. The Chargers, the Packers, you obviously still got to deal with the Super Bowl champs twice. The Dallas Cowboys, who with Dak Prescott, and even without Dak Prescott, if they have Joe Milton, you have a hard time beating them. And about Joe Milton, yeah, that was a target of the Giants potentially. But I told y'all, Jordan Schultz, shout out to Jordan Schultz, I've had him on the show. Jordan Schultz reported that the Patriots sent Joe Milton to his preferred destination. Maybe the Giants were in on him, but he didn't want to be a Giant. He said his mom's a Cowboys fan, family members are a Cowboys fan. They traded him away for some pick swaps, a fifth and a seventh, swapping those picks to be the backup in Dallas. Cooper Rush is gone. You know, Trey Lance is done. And stupid Jerry Jones traded away a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. That fourth-round pick could have been Bucky Irving.
When you're general manager, of which I am.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know why we have that in the system. Like, Justin Fields wants to talk about rhetorical questions. I was the first one on the fan last night saying, it's a hypothetical question, Justin. What are you talking about? I don't like to answer rhetorical questions. Jerry Jones telling everyone, when you're the general manager, which I am. No kidding. Anyway, drafting Shedeur Sanders now makes no sense. Don't draft Shedeur Sanders at 3 if he's there. Pass right on by. You're not going to be able to trade up to get Cam Ward now. And you know what? And I hate to call you dummies, but you lost 10 games in a row. And you had the number one pick where people were making Photoshop images of Cam Ward in the Giants uniform. He was right there for you. But you wanted to go out and beat the Colts with Drew Locke having the best game in Giants quarterback history. None of it makes sense, man. None of it makes sense, man. And the blood is on these guys' hands. And if they want to play a game where they trade back and they see if Jackson Dart falls or they want to take a swing at Jalen Milroe, for what? For why? We already understand. You need to take an Abdul Carter, or, which I said, I don't think they're taking Abdul Carter. I think it's peculiar that Brian Daboll is at Penn State having lunch with the kid. I think that's a smokescreen. Let's make the NFL world think that we are going to wine and dine the top pass rusher in the draft, and then we'll take calls because somebody desperately needs an edge rusher, outside linebacker, and we'll make the trade with them. I don't think that, you know, they could take Abdul Carter, and then also Harvey talked about Travis Hunter. I like Travis Hunter. I think he would work here. They asked this guy, like, how did you handle being in the wide receiver meetings, the DB meetings, the offense meeting, the defense meeting? He had to do a lot of homework. You could probably each day pick and choose which one you sat in on. You can't be in both at the same time. But what he said is there's 24 hours in a day. You sleep 8 of them. The other 16 is all football. No, it's not. We see you dancing on TikTok. We see you playing video games on Twitch. Don't you hang out with that girl that you made popular? But I think he would come here and sell jerseys, and I think he would come here and be a safe pick because if he doesn't work at corner, you make him work at wide receiver. He's an explosive player. I was telling y'all weeks ago, months ago, go look up him playing basketball. I always look at that. Football players like usually struggle to move like that on a basketball court. If you see a football player that can move like that on the basketball court, that means he's a pure athlete. So Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter or potentially trade back. 888-808-1019. I was trying to talk Knicks. So let's take these Knicks calls. Stay tuned for the big shot of the night. And then I have it. We're going to talk all about the Giants draft and the New York Jets draft. Sabi out on Long Island. You're on the Fan. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man? Big fan of your show. I'm actually the guy who runs everything Knicks and everything Yankees on Twitter. So it's cool to see you interact with me there.
Oh, nice to know that. Nice to break that down. I don't know if I'm following you. I'll make sure to follow now.
Yeah. I think you actually are, which is pretty cool. But yeah, wife is a big fan of yours too. She's sitting right here, right next to me. Just on the topic of the Knicks really quickly, I think there's a lot of criticism that goes like towards Tibbs' ways. And I think I caught a little bit of what you were saying because I joined from my car. But just like in general, like a lot of people, especially on Twitter, the criticism of Tibbs, while I think it's some of it, you know, makes sense. Overall, I think a lot of people are forgetting that when you compare the Knicks to the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially this year, those guys got continuity on their team, right? Like their core has been together three, four years, obviously Boston a little bit longer, but obviously they added in Drew last year, but they won the chip, so the pressure isn't there for them. Cleveland, like their core has been there for 3 years, whereas with us, like it was a big change this year, right? Two new starters into the lineup. You could argue even a third in some way with OG who came in half the season before. So I'm a big believer in like continuity and chemistry, and I think that really matters for playoff success. So now, obviously, if we were to lose in the first round, then like you said, things, you know, someone's gonna get it, right? Someone's gonna have to go, and it'll probably start with Tibbs. But I don't think we'd lose in the first round. I'm excited to see our playoff push, but I think we're seeing the effects of losing our team from last year, the Hartensteins, the Dante DiVincenzos. And even Randall, if I dare say in some ways, right? Like his physicality, like I'm not going to back down, his bully ball, right? So I think we're missing a lot of that, but I'm excited to see what they do in the playoffs. And hopefully, you know, we put up a fight with Boston the other day. We're fully healthy. And if we can get past the first round and at least give them a competitive series, like I think they would keep the team intact like the following season. And then just really quickly on the Yankees, I was chatting with a friend earlier, and you know, baseball fans, especially, we get super emotional and like, wow, like the season's like, you know, a bust. And it's like, we always say 27 outs, but I think we also got to start saying, yo, 162 games. You know what I mean? Especially with the Yanks, like pitching wise, get Clark Schmidt and Luis Hill back soon, hopefully. So 162 games. I'm excited to see when these guys come back. And Max Fried came through for us big time the other night. So, again, 162 games, a long season. And I think we can still make a crack at it. But yeah, appreciate you taking the call, man, and keep it going. Big fan of your show.
Yo, thanks for the call. Shout out to you and your girl. Make sure you guys are following Everything Knicks on Twitter and Everything Yankees at All Yankees on Twitter at Everything Knicks on Twitter. So yes, with the Knicks, the whole thing I was saying, and people were, you know, people always think you're hating when you're not a Knicks fan and you speak on it, but I'm just talking about what I've seen. Last year, that Knicks team that added OG to Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, That team was beating everybody they played, and they started to develop an identity, and they were tough, and they were gritty, and Knicks fans were really rallying around them. Obviously, Julius gets hurt, and I remember getting on the fan the night, a couple nights after he got hurt. I think it was the Kings game. They beat the Kings, and I'm like, it's cool that they beat the Kings and all, but they are not making it to an Eastern Conference Finals without Julius Randle, without his attitude, his size, pause, his scoring ability. It's just like you lost something. And every time you make a trade, you lose something as well. Every time you shift the team, as the Knicks have over these last 4 years, 5 years, like you lose a piece of yourself and you're starting over again with a new identity. So when they made the trade for Mikal Bridges, they gave up picks. Okay. The hype was, yo, now we've got Mikal Bridges. Like, he'll be able to guard Tatum. No. But, like, now we've got almost like a cheat code to that continuity and chemistry. We're getting guys that won together in college that are best friends, that know each other so well, they'll be able to just pick that right up on the court. Okay, so you had that for a little while, but with iHeart going to OKC, because you weren't able to pay him what OKC could pay him, you lose that part of the identity that you had in the run last year. He was a huge part of it. His toughness, his rebounding, his passing ability. So you make the big move to get Karl-Anthony Towns. And to get, you have to give. So you give up Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. So effectively, right there, we never get to see this team with iHeart, Julius Randle, Dante. We don't get to see them again with OG, with Hart, with Brunson, and what we thought with Mikal. That never materialized. And so what materialized is this team that we have now, but they're missing something. And this is their first year together. Leon Rose, where you at? I know you did the most to get this team to where they are, and props to you for that. But maybe the Mikal Bridges move was one move too far. Maybe, and obviously you had to get Cat because Mitch was down and you lost iHeart. You needed a big. But like, this team is not a team that you can expect to get past the second round, and that's what you're waiting on now. They got knocked out by the Heat 2 years ago. They got knocked out by the Pacers last year. Are they going to get knocked out by the Celtics this year? If so, heads will have to roll, because that's just the business. This is New York. People are going to be upset, and I think it's the wrong decision to fire the head coach. Nick is in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Oh, man, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for waiting. You got it.
I've Mike Malone let go in Denver, and I've heard some Knicks fans talking about like a first round upset, and then, you know, maybe Tibbs is gone. But I think, you know, Tibbs, someone brought up continuity, and for a long time, you know, now Tibbs is here. You guys have continuity. You have a really good team. Bridges has like one of the best jumpers in the world. And, you know, keep it together. Whatever happens in this playoffs, bring some confidence into the Garden. I was in the Garden last year when Josh Hart beat the Pistons on, like, a last-second shot. And worry about it, you know, worry about it if you don't win the championship. And otherwise, just go as far as you can, you know, and keep it together. Keep it together. That's all I got. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks for the call, Nick. I'll say this. That's a good way to approach things. That is glass half full. It's the playoffs. We don't know what's going to happen. We'll worry about it. We'll take it day by day, game by game, series by series, like I always tell you to do with baseball. That's a good way to think as a fan. But also, there are just realistic fans that are like, come on, bro. We haven't beat the Celtics. They beat us all four times with or without Jalen Brown, Al Horford, Porzingis, Drew Holiday. Like, when they're fully healthy, we can't rock with them. And now, I wouldn't even be worried about the Celtics. I'd be worried about locking up the 3 seed and making sure that the Pistons don't think that they're big enough to go toe-to-toe with you. That they don't get some confidence that they can make it a series and potentially knock you out in the first round. And that's why I'm encouraging Knicks fans. If you've never been to Michigan, I haven't. If you've never been to Detroit, well, now you have a reason. Because that building is ready to back their team. They made the playoffs last, 6 years ago. So they're ready, right? They're ready to back this team. They believe in this team. This team is ahead of schedule. And you could tell tonight how they were getting at some of the Knicks players and you know, the environment turned into like a playoff intensity environment. I know the Garden is going to be the Garden no matter what, but like, you got to back this team on the road. They're used to having that support wherever they travel. Knicks fans travel well. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, the big shot of the night and more of your calls. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.